May your word only be spoken, O God. May your word only be heard. Amen. In the summer of 2003, I was a seminarian on the Cheyenne River Reservation in north central South Dakota. And being mentored by a wonderful priest whose name was Jeff. And Jeff greeted me with the news that there were 14 congregations spread out over an area a little bigger than the size of Connecticut, and that I would be working really hard. And then he proceeded to let me go off and preach on my own and lead morning prayer in half of those congregations every Sunday morning. And I did work really hard. But he and his wife, Shirley, also seemed to be under the impression that I needed to be tended to. And so we fell into the habit of my eating dinner with them every single night. And even if Jeff and I had not seen one another during the day, it was a good opportunity to catch up. And he and Shirley and their cats welcomed me as they might have done their daughter. But the summer of 2003 was also the summer of General Convention when Gene Robinson was up for approval as Diocesan Bishop of New Hampshire. And Gene was up as the first openly gay bishop to be elected in the Episcopal Church. And because of the timing of his election, he was to be approved or not at General Convention that summer. And Jeff was really wrestling with it. He absolutely thought that having GLBTQ clergy was against biblical teaching. He thought that homosexuality was inherently sinful. He certainly didn't think that there should be gay or lesbian deacons or priests or bishops. And he was really struggling to understand why the church that he loved would do something so wrong. And so I sat there with his cat on my lap. For many, many nights of this, with his wife Shirley and I more or less taking the same side in favor of an inclusive community in Christ. Never really making the leap. And Jeff was just couldn't see it. And we went on and on, night after night. And finally, I was sitting there with his very opinionated Siamese in my lap one night. And I looked over at Shirley, who I knew would be in my corner. And I said, "Jeff, I'm gay." And he said, "No, you're not." And I said, "Yes, I am." And I love Jeff so much, and he taught me so much, and he looked at me in utter disbelief, and he said, "But you're gifted." And we started to talk about it. And we started to talk about whether it was, in fact, inherently sinful to be gay. And it was clear to me that Shirley had just been waiting for this opportunity. And she backed me up every step of the way as we talked about this for weeks more. And the night of the vote, we hadn't heard whether Gene had been consecrated or not. And Jeff turned to me as we're all sitting around after dinner, cat still in my lap. I loved that cat so much for that summer. Jeff said, he should be consecrated. And that was all he really said. And Shirley just couldn't resist, and she said, "Jeff, why?" And he said, "Because it can't be wrong. If Kate's gay, being gay can't be wrong. That's, she's Christian. It can't be wrong. So the people of New Hampshire must have chosen Jean for a reason." Paul writes in this morning's passage that we are all members of the body of Christ, differently gifted, but all members. Some with prophecy, some with teaching, some with giving, some with compassion, some with diligence. All members in the body of Christ. And how much do we lose by ignoring some of the members? And how much do we gain when we build relationship with one another, so that we all understand each other's giftedness as children of God? Daryl Davis is an incredibly gifted blues pianist. And about 30 years ago, he picked up an unusual hobby. He's African American, and he decided that he should start having conversations, conversion conversations, with members of the Ku Klux Klan. He was playing in a bar called the Silver Dollar Lounge, and after his set was over, a white man came up to him and said, "Where did you learn to play like that?" And Daryl was talking a little bit about his music, and the guy said, "You must have learned that from Jerry Lee Lewis." And Daryl said, "I thought to myself, how could you think Jerry Lee Lewis started the tradition of blues music?" And he started talking about all these great black blues musicians. And the guy said, "Well, that can't possibly be right. It's all from Jerry Lee." But he invited Daryl to have a drink with him, and they sat down at the bar, and the guy said, "You know, this is the first time I've ever had a drink with a black person." And Daryl said, "I was thinking, well, what have I gotten myself into?" And the guy's friend, after a couple of drinks, is nudging him, "Tell him, tell him." And Daryl said, he said, "I'm a member of the Klan." And Daryl said in his head, he had just about the same reaction that Jeff Barnes had to me. "No, you're not." He said, he didn't say it out loud. He said, "Really?" And the guy pulled his Klan membership card out of his wallet and showed it to him. And Daryl said, they didn't talk about that, but they kept talking about music. And at the end of the night, the guy said, "Let me know when you're playing here again. I want to come hear you again." And Daryl Davis said, on the basis of that, they started to build a friendship. That he would call this guy every time he was in town playing at the Silver Dollar Lounge, and that they would get together. The guy would come here and they'd have drinks. They'd talk. And Daryl said, out of that friendship, he started to grow the idea that maybe this was how he could change people's minds. And he said he set himself to get one person to quit the Klan. And he said, so he started reading about everything he could get his hands on about Klan history and beliefs and what was involved. And he said he started inviting people to come and talk to him when he was on tour. Would they come and sit and have a conversation with him? And he said after months of this, as it was starting to become habit for him, maybe, and not be quite so scary anymore, there was a member of the clan sitting in his car with him, and they were talking. And the guy he was talking to said, well, all black people are inherently violent, and that's why we have to control them. And Daryl said, he said, well, I'm not violent. Do you think that I'm violent? And the guy said, well, the genetic tendency is just latent in you. It'll come out at some point. You'll be violent. And Daryl responded, well, you must be a serial killer then. All white people are serial killers. And the guy said, no, we're not. And Daryl started naming them, right? You can too. Dahmer, Manson, Stacy. This was before all the recent shootings we've had. All white people. And the guy said again, well, but I'm not a serial killer. And Daryl said, the genetic tendency is just latent in you. It'll come out. And it was the basis of that conversation. And the conversation in the weeks following that made that guy the first guy to give Daryl Davis his clan name and to lead the Ku Klux Klan. Daryl Davis said he has more than 200 robes now after 30 years of building relationships. More than 200 people have quit the Klan, left, because of the relationships that Daryl Davis takes the time to build with his music, with his listening, with his willingness to sit down and talk. We are all members of the body of Christ, writes Paul. Differently gifted, all members in the body of Christ. Think about how much we lose, how much prophecy, how much teaching, how much diligence, how much giving we lose when we fail to acknowledge that we are all members one of another, all equally and differently gifted in the eyes of God. God calls us to that relationship in the body of Christ. You've all had those conversations with someone. A conversation that made you realize that even though you thought they weren't like you, they were. You've all had that listening experience. And you've all had that experience of being the person who said something that helped someone else see you as a child of God. Those conversations take courage. They take honesty. And they take a willingness to listen past the opening stuff, right? To listen past the, no, you're not. Yes, you are. No, you can't be. To get in to seeing the children of God. God calls us to have those conversations, to build those relationships Because without them, we as members of the body of Christ are poor for the lack of our members. Are less big and less able to do the work we need to do because we are not all at the table. So when you remember your own gifts, your prophecy, your generosity, your teaching, your spirit, remember too that the person next to you has different gifts, and we need them all to change the world. Amen.